Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I have a guest this week who most of you know if you're regulars on the radio program, Pete Burak. Pete is the Vice President of Renewal Ministries, and we've been working together. He's a key part of our team, our executive team at Renewal Ministries, and he's been on the program many times over the years. And I asked him to join us this week because he's just completed a book that's going to be launched called A Man on Purpose, 10 Rules of Life from a Faithful Father. I know there's a lot in your heart that's moved you to write this, Pete, just the situation that you see. And we see in the world today a lot of fatherless people, a lot of young men and children without fathers in their home, and just such a critically important topic for us to talk about. So welcome, by the way. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be with you again.
Good to have you here, yeah. And maybe we could just start with why'd you, in particular, feel inspired to write this book?
Yeah, it's a great question. A lot of people talk about writing a book, and then when you actually get down to it, actually putting pen to paper is, or really fingers to keys, is kind of a big initiative. And it's like, why should anyone write a book? You know.
Yeah.
So the simplest answer is, I eventually, and we can get to it. Like, I did feel a stirring in the Holy Spirit that yes, the Lord really did want me to try to do this. But where it came about really is having done a lot of work with boys at Pine Hills Boys Camp and through our initiative at Renewal Ministries of Forge, and just watching my own peers and seeing as I became a father myself, what I've noticed, and then you can't look anywhere in the culture and not see quite a bit of debate about masculinity and what is masculinity and toxic masculinity, and is anything masculinity or is nothing masculinity, and is there anything good about being a man, or what even is a man, you know? So many questions swirling. And so kind of anecdotally throughout the years, we've been wading into this and trying to provide some clarity and some light as to what God has revealed about who men are and what we're made to be and what our unique contribution is to the world. But there was one particular moment where I was preaching at a parish mission in the middle of kind of nowhere, Indiana. And at the end of the talk, I shared a story of something my dad had done it with me on my 16th birthday, this big kind of seminal moment, this rite of passage moment. And it included writing of letters. And so at the end of it, the talk, I'm sitting there kind of greeting people as they're leaving. And this woman comes up to me and she's kind of emotional, choked up. And she said, you know, my husband of many years just recently left us and my son is 15. And I'm very concerned about how he's going to know what it means to be a man. And he doesn't have anyone like you had in your father to step in and fill that void. And so she said, would you write him a letter? And I said, well, no, you know, I mean, I'll pray for him, but he doesn't know me. I don't even know what I would really say. There's no relationship here. So I'm sorry, but I don't know if that would be the best approach. Maybe there's another guy in his life. And she said, okay, no, that makes sense. But she said, well, do you have a book or a resource I could give him that he could read to help him? And I said, no, not that I know of, but I'll pray about it and think about it. And that night, laying in the kind of uncomfortable bed in the priest's rectory, trying to fall asleep, this conversation just kept rattling in me. This idea of like, is there a book that could help this young man? And it was in that moment, right? I really felt the Holy Spirit said, well, why don't you write it? Mm-hmm. And so that became this pathway of thinking, okay, what would I say or try to communicate to a couple different audiences? The first is the young men who don't have a father figure, who are trying to figure out what it means to be a man. You know, they're looking around and they don't really have older men who are investing in them, and they're just trying to get some sense. And I had such an extraordinary dad. I thought, well, maybe if we could harness some of what he taught me and share it with them, they could be kind of fathered by my father in some way. And then the other audience was just young fathers who were trying to figure it out. And they go, I don't know what to do with my boy, mm-hmm. my boys and girls. And so to learn even from what my dad did with me. And then finally, I think there are a lot of women who are really confused by men. And so I think the book will help them just give a little glimpses as to how men tick and why we do the things that we do.
Did you hear that, ladies? You've got to go out and buy the book.
Absolutely.
As soon as you can.
Yeah. Wives, this will help you with your husbands and sons,
right.
For sure.
Right, right. I'm not sure if you had this in mind, Pete, but just the large-scale discussions that have been going on in the culture mm-hmm. around what is authentic masculinity, and both a kind of reaction against masculinity that happened, the whole idea of toxic masculinity. There's something wrong about what we've traditionally understood to be just masculine identity and the rest of it. And so it was just it's a troubling thing. And lots of people are kind of caught, and there's been overreaction against that, where it's been
right.
a kind of a strange demonstration of masculinity, or sort of an angry or resistant kind of idea. So was that part of what was on your mind in writing the whole thing?
Absolutely, because there's no question that men have done horrible things throughout history in the name of authentic manhood. Like, it's okay to acknowledge that women have been wounded, children have been wounded, other men have been wounded because of the misperception or misutilization of how God made us to be men. So it's worth acknowledging there is such a thing as you could be a toxic man, okay? But the conclusion of that is not that manhood, as God designed, is bad. It's more of that it needs to be a man under the obedience of God in harmony with natural law and developing in human and spiritual virtue, right? Like, so it's not to say we should throw out what it means to be a man. It's just we almost need to reclaim a more Christian understanding of what it authentically means to be a man. The problem is sometimes in that reclamation, we also then almost like play act a type of masculinity, like an uber masculinity, to almost counterbalance the perceived feminization of things. And so you see also, especially in the church a lot of guys trying to like rediscover what it means to be a man, but they attribute manhood to more superficial kind of actions and preferences as opposed to more intrinsic things that God has wired us to be. So it becomes almost more of a cultural thing of like, well, you're a man if you like to smoke cigars, or a man if you shoot guns, or a man if you are willing to kill things and eat it. You know, like, oh, there's all these things. And that's all fine. I'm not suggesting any of that is intrinsically wrong or intrinsically good. But there is a deeper understanding that if that's how your authentic masculinity is expressed, praise God. But that doesn't mean that's the way it is. And so in this book, I don't have a single footnote. I didn't like do research for this. Like, this is not a sociological, psychological, philosophical look at manhood. Mm-hmm. It's really just like my experience of what I say, like, was an ordinary man who was an extraordinary father, which my dad. And I think through the lessons that he taught me, though, there's a universality to them of being able to apply them to each individual circumstance. But like, my dad loved sports, but I don't know if he ever went hunting. Mm-hmm. Didn't make him less of a man. Because he loved sports didn't make him a man. You know, it's like there's these things. He gave up alcohol basically his entire adult life as a fast for his marriage. I only saw him drink one sip of alcohol my entire life. It was at my wedding because he lost a bet to my brother. And so he had to take a shot. But he did that. He sacrificed that experience and that preference for a greater good. And so it's not so much about how do I kind of put on the trappings of manhood so that people will see it and acknowledge it. It's more of, what do we become in the Lord in our true identity, and how do we live out of that true identity in authentic but also masculine ways?
How would you say, just in that example you gave of your father in that one indicator, how is the decision he made there an expression of authentic masculinity?
Two things. Yeah, yeah. Two ways there. One was it came from a sense that the Lord was asking him to do it. Mm-hmm. So the first way it was he was listening to the Lord and recognize that to be a son of God is to be obedient to the Father, just as Jesus is obedient to the Father. So the first evidence of his authentic masculinity is that he was interested in God's will for his life and then willing to obey what he received from the Lord. So he was listening and obeying. And then the second thing is it's baked into our who we are, into our bodies and everything, is to give of ourselves, to lay down our lives for others, to really sacrifice something, to not put ourselves first, but to put somebody else first. Like that traditional chivalry of like women and children first is a real thing. That's not just because guys are, that's just not arbitrary. That's actually how we're wired, is to lay down our lives, just as Jesus laid down his life for the church. And so that decision to fast for something, to suffer in a way, intentional suffering, was an expression of like, okay, I'm going to be obedient to the Lord, but I also, it's an act of love for my wife and children, because I know this will actually make me, because it's part of God's will, holier, more virtuous, and more able to be the husband and father that the Lord's calling me to be.
Yeah, making decisions for the sake of the other, for the good of the other, under inspiration. It's like,
yeah.
And also for the Christian, living under the Lordship of Jesus is critical piece to whether you're a man or a woman, right?
Amen.
And that's really, your dad, I knew your father, for those who are listening, I knew Pete's father quite well. And he certainly was that kind of man and really believed in it. So, A Man on Purpose, tell us about that title.
You've written books. You understand that the titling is a fun journey, right? Yeah. Of a discussion between yourself and what you think is really good and then what the editors and the publishers think. And so we went around and around and around. And ultimately, we landed on this because one of the things my dad talked about a lot was being intentional, being an intentional person, really making conscious decisions about how you either want to live or don't want to live. And even like when I first started with Renewal Ministries and we built this young adult outreach called ID, to be an intentional disciple of Jesus Christ, some of that inspiration was coming from this, what was formed in me for years and years. It was like, be intentional about your life, be on purpose, right? Be a man on purpose. And so the title kind of eventually landed on us of like, my dad was a man on purpose, and both meanings of that. He was intentional about doing the things that he did, and he wasn't just kind of wondering what it meant to be a man. He had really discerned and tried to figure out, okay, how does it look like for Chris Burek to move through the world? And so the title is hopefully kind of that double meaning, kind of grab your attention of saying like, in a world that is very unintentional in many ways, or very confused about what it means to be a man, or maybe even embarrassed about being a man, no, we're a man on purpose, both in terms of the intentionality in our life and very standing in the reality of our masculinity.
The 10 rules from a faithful father.
Yeah.
Why'd you land on 10, and why'd you call them rules? I'm just curious.
Yeah. Well, some of it's, I wish it was more profound than like marketing.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of like Jordan Peterson had a book a few years ago about rules of 12 life,
rules?
12 rules of life.
Okay.
And so there's something about the word rules that again, actually resonates with men.
Yeah.
Men like rules. They like commands. They like guardrails. They like, how do you play this sport the right way? What's the rules? You know, like little boys are constantly arguing over the rules of something. And then 10 was, there's a lot more in the sense of we left some on the cutting room floor there, but we decided that 10 was a good round number. And on one level, it was my, it's my favorite number. At 10, I was born on January 10th. I was number 10 through every sports season all the way through college. 10 was always the number that resonated with me. And so as it kind of, And then again, a marketing thing. It was like, do you do 11 or do you do 12? And they're like, Ave Maria was like, well, you really need round numbers. You know, that resonates more. Okay, well, great. We'll do 10 rules. And then maybe there can be a volume 2 with 6 more rules or 8 more rules of life if the Lord inspires it.
We just have about a minute left, Pete. What do you hope those who read it, what they're able to draw from it? What's kind of the hope that's in your heart? Number one and number two, how can people get the book?
Yeah, no, I hope each person comes away inspired and motivated to care about their life and not just care for themselves, but to really turn to the Lord first and say, Lord, who am I in you? And how can I be filled more with the power of the Holy Spirit in order to live it? I mean, the protagonist of the story in many ways is my dad, but the real protagonist is Jesus living in his heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. He was a committed, Spirit-filled disciple, and that was what changed everything. And so actually what I really hope is that people fall more in love with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we can talk more about that maybe tomorrow. But if they're interested in getting the book, they can go to renewalministries.net/store. It's all over the website there. It's also on Amazon. It's also at the Ave Maria Press website. Anywhere you'd normally get a book, you should be able to find it. Amazon, but Renewal Ministries is also a great place to get it.
Wonderful. Well, thanks, Pete. Well, friends, Pete's going to be with us through the rest of this week. We want to talk about the book, different elements of the book, key points within the book. So encourage you, if you have a friend who you think would really be blessed by this topic this week, invite him to join us. We'll be back tomorrow. You can also listen to the program, tell your friends to tune in to the program if they haven't had a chance to hear it, just by going to the Ave Maria app. God bless you. Hope you can join us tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.